Good morning.
Good morning.
I like that. My hope is in you, Lord. Where would we be without that hope? The hope of a better day, a better life. Where would we be? You know, sometimes in my morning prayers, I'll say, you know, God, if you weren't in my life, I don't think I'd want to be here. You know, because you are the hope of glory, something better to come. And no matter how life may have dumped a pile of stuff on me, I know that there is a way out of it because it's you, oh God. So thank you. It was a beautiful song. Happy Father's Day again, all of those who are fathers. And for those of us who may have left our marital partners and have to raise our children by ourselves, you know, yeah, some of us did. We played the role of mother, father. We were the parent. And I'm sure that we are grateful for the opportunity because we can see ourselves and our children. And for those of us who may not have been blessed to give birth or have birth given from our seed, you know, you are a mother and a father, I bet, to a pet, to a friend. I remember the sermon I heard many, many years ago. It was about the perfect parent. And the perfect parent knows how to play both roles. You know, my son, tell you a quick little story. My son, I think he was about 13, starting to feel his oats. You know, they get that age. And I'm a man. And my son was very much like his father. He grew facial hair early. And that just made it worse. And one day he was being a bit obstinate. And I knew I needed to knock him down a peg or two. So I said, Ben, his name is Ben. I said, Ben, could you bring Mom that stool that's in that other room? I need something on the top shelf. It was at the linen closet. And I can't quite get it, but I can get up there with that. And so he brought the little stool and put it by me. And I said, help Mom get up on it. I put my hand on his shoulder and pretended like I needed help getting up on this stool. And then I said, oh, thank you so much. And I said, no, don't go away. I grabbed his shoulder and I slapped the daylights out of him. What'd you do that for? I said, you were rude to me. You were rude to me earlier before all that happened. And I said, let me tell you something. You only get one set of parents. Scripture says, honor your mother and your father that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And I said, let me tell you something. You can get upset with your father and he may not talk to you for a while. But you don't ever want to upset your mama because she's the one that's going to be there for you through thick and thin. Your father's going to want you to pull your bootstraps up and be a man. I said, but don't ever turn your mama off, because she's going to be there for you right or wrong and love you through it all. Your dad does too, but nobody's got love like a mama says, so you better be good to me and be kind. And thank you, God. My son is a model father. He has three children, and now he has a grandchild. He's a good daddy. And when I'm around them, they live in North Carolina, when I'm around them, I notice the love. Not what they say, it's how they interact with each other. And I feel so good. And one day when his first child was a boy, and when Jeremy, my grandson, was about three, I said, no. I was giving him some motherly advice on how to be a good dad. I said, because, you know, your dad, and I parted companies, because that happens. And I said, but there's certain things you need to know, and I don't know if your father has discussed this with you or not, but I'm telling you. How to do and how to treat your child, because nobody just wrote a book that tells you how to be a good parent. Nobody teaches you, so we all kind of go from what we experience and what we learned as a child. And I said, so you don't want to duplicate your father's behavior, and you don't want to duplicate mine. Take the best of what we both did and make it better. Pray on it and ask God to show you the way to make your children better children. To do the best you can, because you only get one chance to be a parent. And I was telling him about language and stuff like that, and he said, "Mom, I'm going to raise my son the way you raised me, because I thought you did a good job." It still makes me tearful, because, when you're a divorced parent, you want to make sure you're doing right by your child. And he said that to me, and I said, "Well, you sure know how to shut me up, huh?" When you think of Father's Day, do you know how it originated? I know some of us don't. I decided to look it up. And it was recorded that a young lady by the name of Sonora Dodd attended a Mother's Day celebration service at her church in 1909. As she listened to the mothers being honored, she felt that her father, who was a war veteran, had gone through so many hardships working a full-time job while tending to the upbringing of his house, home, and raising six children all by himself because their mother had gotten ill and made her transition. That he should be recognized for that as well. The story goes on that Sonora felt a day to honor fathers ought to be celebrated, so many people laughed and joked her idea, and she said, "Oh, that's silly, don't do that." But she felt the urge to do it. She was determined to bring it about. She felt the things that her father did for his children was far and above anything she had ever heard of any father doing, like helping her and her sisters with their feminine ways and things, helping them sew buttons on their clothing and cooking and doing the things that used to be known. Mm-hmm. Because I believe in equal opportunity. there's no such thing as woman's work. There's things that the mothers do for their children, and there's things that fathers do for their children. In my household, whoever was handy did it. Hang on a second, I gotta get this back on my ear. So anyway, her father did things far and above what she thought was necessary, especially back in 1909, so she began this campaign for the cause for Father's Day. She was lobbying with everybody in every church, and her diligence received pretty good success when a ministerial association agreed with her and joined with her to create and celebrate the Father's Day in 1910 in Spokane, Washington. She wanted that special tribute to be had on her father's birthday, June 5th. However, there was not enough time to plan for it, so they decided to make it June 19th, 1910. Excuse me, exactly 107 years ago. Well, the idea grew, and it became increasingly more popular in America and was approved as a festival by President Woodrow Wilson in 1916 and later declared an official national observance by President Nixon in 1972 as a permanent national observation day. Now, I thought that was interesting, 1972. Because 1972 was when I had my son. And I said, it took that long. Wow. So the noble idea of celebrating Father's Day continued to increase its popularity in the United States as much so that President Woodrow Wilson approved it as a festival in 1916. And it was not until 1966 that President Calvin Coolidge supported it, but President Lyndon Johnson in 1966 signed a presidential proclamation declaring the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. It took them that long. I guess eventually we all wake up, huh? So how many of us children, like to emulate our parents? You see little girls put on their mother's heels and put on her jewelry, and they put lipstick all over their face trying to look pretty like mommy does. Well, then the little boys would put on dad's shoes that were 10 times too big for them and clonk, clonk, clonk around the house thinking they're looking like their dad. And I remember one of my little brothers, I've got five of them, that had dad's bag that he carried all his stuff in when he went to church, and put dad's glasses on and his hat. And we said, "Mike, where are you going?" "I'm going to church." "You going to church?" "I'm going to church. Take care of business." My father was an elder in the church. So I thought that was hysterical. So anyway, but even little things like that shows the impression that a father has on a child. The blessings that come with being a father are precious. I understand that the overwhelming majority of our personality issues begins with our relationships with our father. I remember sitting at church of the day on the Wednesday evening service, and I want to say it was Mike Wickett. It was either Mike Wickett or Wayne Dyer. I'm pretty sure it was Mike Wickett. Anybody know Mike Wickett? Yeah, I know you do. Yeah, he was a regular speaker at our church. But he said that the overwhelming number of issues that we have, emotional issues, come from our relationships with our father. You know, in the Bible, fathers are given a lot of instruction. And in marriage ceremonies, they go to the Corinthians, the 1 Corinthians, or the 2 Corinthians, forget which one now, and it tells men how to be a husband to their wives. It's a whole lot of instructions. I said, now God must have known the guys were going to be a real interesting people to give them all that instruction to be how to be a good husband, how to be a good father. And I find that very interesting. Still don't have the answer for it, but you know what? God knows what God is doing. What was your experience growing up, huh? Everybody has their own individual experience. I started to tell you about my experience, but I didn't want you all to throw up. Because it wasn't the best. I had to come to the understanding and the awareness that, and thank God for unity. I came to the understanding and awareness that, according to Carol Meese, that book Sacred Contracts, have you all read that? No? How many people have not read it? Oh, is it ever enlightening? Her name is Carolyn Meese, M-Y-S-S, and the book is Sacred Contracts. It will help you understand who you are and why you made the choices. Did you know, when I first heard her, she came to the church the other day to do a workshop, and she says, you chose your mother and your father before you were born. And I said, I did that? That cannot be correct. And I looked at my father, who in public was, everybody loved him. He was a lovable man, a lot of fun, full of life, caring. But came home, he was a whole different person. One of my brothers said that he was a dictator, authoritarian. He had no problem with corporal punishment. And he had the audacity to tell me, I didn't want a girl, I wanted a boy, you showed up. And being his child, I said to him, well, you were having fun with mama, and I happened. And he looked at big eyes, and I took off running. Because I knew what was coming next, so whack. But you know what? He was who he was. And it took me many, many, many years later to come into understanding. You know, the scripture tells us that with all that getting, get understanding. Wisdom is a thing, but get understanding. And I had to take a look because I didn't talk to him for 7 years. I had to look back at his childhood. And I saw that his father had passed when he was young. And that he had his older brother to be the role model. And that's what we do, whether we're male or female, we use that older model. Who do we draw from? Who do we get our habits from? I know the one time my son really upset me really bad, and that day that I whacked him, I slapped him, I left my handprint on the side of his face and stayed there for hours. I felt just like dirt. And I prayed and I said, God, let me never act like my father ever again. Show me the way to be good to this child, to be a good parent. And that's what we do. We emulate our parents without even realizing it. And I'm not sure, but I think that about half of us had really, really, really good fathers who were ideal, and then some of us didn't, and that's because of their history, from what they came from. One of my brothers, I have five brothers, and one of them said, Carol, all Daddy did was terrorize our family. And he wouldn't talk to him for the longest. But it's interesting, at the end of my father's life, it was that brother who had to take over, you know, the medical decisions and stuff. And they were able to come to an understanding. And I said to him, I said, you know what, honey? It's too bad that you couldn't get to that before so you guys could have a good quality of life. But I guess it just wasn't meant to be. I said, everything that happens in our lives with our parents, with our friends, our spouses, it has a reason and a purpose. And sometimes we get so hung up on the what that happened that we never allow our consciousness to open up to say, God, just show me what it is you want me to see here. What is it you want me to learn from this situation? See, after my father made that comment, I left town. I had worked so hard to get a scholarship to college so I could leave. And I got it. And after college, I decided I was going to come to Detroit where my friends were and a couple, three relatives. Because I said, I've had it. I've had it. But my father came and we made up and all. But you know, the things you go through when you're a youngster, you don't realize what that is. Now, after you've come into, especially to a congregation like Unity, you understand that everything has a reason and a purpose. Even that bug, that mosquito that stung you, had a purpose. What was it? I have no clue. I know I don't like them to sting me because they make ugly marks, but there was a reason and a purpose for it. And I know that if we take the time to just say, now God, what do you want me to learn? What do you want me to learn from that? What's the message in it for me? There is nothing that could ever happen to us that doesn't hold a message. You know, I made a promise to myself and to God to be the best parent that I could possibly be. And when I look at my son's granddaughter, she's just two, and I look, I thought, wow, how precious. How precious is she? And I looked and I said, now that was part of my seed. And our seed keeps getting split down by all the generations. I love it when I'm out and about and I see fathers with their children. And I see them, some fathers, I think, I'm going to say this and I think I'm pretty right. The fathers of the now phase that we're in, they seem to be more caring and more kind and more attentive to their children. I was in the park one day, and I saw this little girl. She was with her dad. He had two little girls. And one was fussing, and she didn't want to go there, and the other one was fussing, and she wanted to go on the swings. And I just kind of observed, now, how's he going to handle this one? Because that one that didn't want to go, she was pretty adamant about it. Well, he said, I tell you what, he was such a diplomat. He said, we're going to go here for a few minutes, and then we'll go do the swings. Is that okay? And he decided to sweeten the pot. Afterwards, he said, we'll go get some ice cream. And they said, okay. You got to know how to handle these children. My father was something else. And I'm so glad that I got Unity teachings in me to help me to understand the process to forgive him. Because his childhood was not a bowl of cherries. And the more you can understand that, the better off you can be in your life and help your children so that you don't have the sins of the fathers visited upon the children. You know, when I first saw that scripture many, many years ago, I wondered about that. But I look at my father and I was sharing, Vicki and I rode together this morning, and I was sharing with her that my father, his father passed. And he and a cousin, they walked out of Redwood, Mississippi, and they were 15. And they hopped trains, and they walked, and they hitchhiked all the way to where his older brother and sister had gone to Louisville, Kentucky. And when they got there, they said that they had holes in their shoes because they had walked all the leather off the bottom. And then when his older brother saw them, he says, come on, we're going to the store. And They took him to the store, I'll never forget, called Robert Hall, eons ago. And he bought them everything they needed, underclothes, shirts, pants, socks, shoes, suits, the whole nine yards. And they said, now we're going to go home and you guys are going to take a bath. And then we're going to put those clothes in that bag and then we're going to go burn it. Because you don't ever want to, that's your past. You don't want to go in that again. But I thought about my father. And I thought, he didn't have a father around, you know, to show him the way, to tell him what was right, what was wrong. He only had his older brother. And my Uncle Ace, I loved him dearly. But my Uncle Ace was of the 10 children that my father's 9 siblings. He was what some families would call the black sheep. He was a good-looking man, ladies' man. He was a gambler. And he'd like to go, as he said, gay pop on the weekend. That was just have all the fun that he could have till he was just falling down drunk. And he thought that was fun. Well, that's what my dad saw. And he thought, well, that's what just men are supposed to do. And that's where we all fall into that. Whether you're female and following women, learning from women, or males learning from older males. We pick up their bad example, and that's what we use until we find out it doesn't work. And you got to go back to the drawing board and find something that really works well. So I made a promise to God that I would examine all of my behaviors toward my son and any other child that came under my management, that I would examine all of my behaviors and make sure that I don't duplicate what I saw. I don't duplicate what was hurtful to me as I was growing up, that I would do my best to be better. And I would always pray to God to give me the guidance to know what is right and perfect to do. On a trip back to my hometown of Louisville, Kentucky one summer, I made up my mind to have a conversation with my father because he had irritated me so badly. I didn't speak to him for 7 years because he said he didn't want girls, remember? And I said, too bad. I'm here. Deal with it. I had a little flippancy there, I admit it. But I went to him and I said, you know, Dad, I'm coming home for a week and I'd like to sit in and talk to you. He says, I think that would be good. So he and his wife fixed up, my mother was gone, had died a long time before, had fixed me this fabulous meal, and he knows that I love fish. My father was a hunter, a fisherman, a farmer. He loved it, all that kind of stuff. They made a meal for the three of us that looked like they were cooking for 30 people. And it was wonderful, and they made me peach cobbler. They knew I love fresh peach cobbler. And we just stuffed ourselves. We had the most wonderful meal. And as we were sitting around after the meal, and I said, you know, Daddy, there's some things I just want to clear the boards with you. And I said, you know, and I had been in unity long enough to come into greater awareness. And I said, I just want to know. I want you to know that I understand that you were doing the best you could in raising us that you knew how. I said, and we as children, we idolize our parents. We wanted them to be the best parents in the world. And I said, I just want you to know that no, I didn't like all those beatings you gave me. No, I didn't like it. I didn't like when you backhanded me. And I said, you know what, Daddy, by today's laws, you would be up under the prison for the punishment. But you did, if you had known better, I pray that you would have done better. And my father was sitting there with tears rolling down his face, and he said, kitten, I didn't know any better. I was just doing what I knew. And I said, you know, then that's where we, as Unity students, need to be more understanding and embracing of the principles and realize that nobody taught them how to be a father. Nobody taught us how to be a mother. But when we embrace the principles and open our awareness, we ask God to be our guide, guide our steps, order our steps, show us the way that we are to go and to be. So regardless if you had a wonderful childhood with a very caring father, if you may have had my luck in life and had a father that was doing the best he could with what he knew, there's still our dad, there's still our mom. And it's still up to us to take a look at that and not wear it, not the uncomfortable times, as a boulder around our ankles. You know, you kick off the shackles. Kick off the shackles. I encourage you to learn all you can from Unity about being the highest and greatest, and you see me, hear me say this a lot, be the highest and grandest and greatest version of yourself that you can possibly be. Don't let your history become shackles around your ankles that hold you back. I was so angry at my father when he was ill, when he was moving toward his transition. He said something to me that just set me off. So I told my brother, I said, when he goes, do not call me. I'm not coming. You can tell me that he made his transition, but don't expect me to show up. I'm not coming. I was so angry with him. I said, as much as I've learned, I still find there's still pockets that I need more guidance in. And so I was so angry at that phone conversation. And then that night when I was doing my meditation, Holy Spirit said, Carol, go see your father. He's going to leave soon. I don't want to, Carol. Go see your father. I don't have the price of an airline ticket. Carol, go see your father. Okay. So I ordered a ticket, and I flew home to see my dad. And my brother said, oh, we're so glad that you came back, because he doesn't have much time left. I said, oh, well. I said, that's his lot in life, because I was still carrying my upset and my hurt. So I went to the hospital, and I walked into the room, and he sat up, and he said, you're here? I said, yeah, you old fart, I'm here. And I said, I'm only here because God told me to be here. And I saw all these tubes and all this stuff coming out of him, and I said, we can have a good conversation. You can't jump up and slap me here, can you? And he just blinked his eyes. So I said to him, well, tell me this, Daddy. Do you plan to let Jesus heal you? I have to talk to people. You have to meet people where they are. I said, do you plan to let Jesus heal you? Are you ready to move on to heaven? And he looked at me. He always called me kitten. Well, kitten, you know, it's time for a new beginning. I said, save it. I said, wait a minute. They had just taken tubes out of his mouth, and, you know, the voice, their throat gets a little raspy. And I said, Daddy, I want you to say that again, but I want you to hold my hand. And if I'm going to repeat it back to you, and if this is what you said, I want you to squeeze my hand and then blink your eyes. My father grabbed my hand, and he had still had good strength in. He squeezed my hand real hard. And he not only blinked his eye, he winked at me. And he said, he was trying to smile as best he could. He said, it's time for a new beginning. I said, did you say, and I repeated back, he said, it's time for a new beginning. Now, that was very poignant with me because my father had this deep fear of dying, of death. Whenever there was funerals, he tried his best to not go, and he would sit way in the back because he didn't want to be there. And when he said that, and I said, oh, you've had your own conversation with God, haven't you? And his tears started coming out of his eyes, and he shook his head, yes. And I said, well, Daddy, that's good. Well, when you get to heaven, and my father loved family reunions, this year we'll have our 42nd family reunion, and we started going to the city of the next oldest surviving member. And this year, it'll be 42 years, we'll be in L.A., and it's going to be interesting. He loved family reunions. And he says, we got to go to California. We got to go to California. So the first year we went to California, he was in his element because he had never been there before. He took the train to California, he and his wife, because he didn't like flying. And he said, I'll never do that again. So the next time we had it in California, Daddy flew. And then he fell in love with flying and airplanes. But, this would be our 42nd year. So I said to him as he's laying there in his hospital bed, and I knew that from what the doctors had told us, it would be just 2 or 3 days at best. And I'm thinking he's still because it's fear of dying. And I said, well, Daddy, you know, you're going to have one heaven of a family reunion when you get there. I said, you know, all your sisters and brothers and your mom and your dad. And I said, and besides, Mama's waiting for you. You got some explaining to do, dude. And he tried his best to laugh, but he couldn't. But the thing about my father is, about 2 months after he made his transition, he came to me. Now, I'm not afraid when spirits come to me. And they always come, it seems like most of the time I'm in the bathroom, and I'm combing my hair, or I'm brushing my teeth or something, and all of a sudden I feel a presence. And they're either that big in the mirror, or right over there. And the day that it happened to me, I said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I had to come talk to you. And I said, well, what is it? He said, I come to ask you to forgive me. He said, I didn't know. I didn't know any better, but now I do. He said, will you ever forgive me? And I said, well, Daddy, I forgave you a long time ago. I said, because I go to Unity, and they teach us that forgiveness is so critical to our growth and development. And I said, by the way, did you and Mama have that conversation? And he said, yeah, and she forgave me too. And I said, you go on and go on to your next adventure, because, you know, there is no death. It's just another adventure after another. You go on and enjoy your next life. But know that I loved you then, I love you now. I said, but to love you didn't mean I had to appreciate your behavior. And he said, I wish I could hug you. I said, yeah, me too, but it's not going to happen. I said, I'll hug you when I get on the other side with you. But I said, but don't look for me for about 40, 50 years, and I'll be there. So the relationship we have with our Father can make us or break us, or can give us a lot of stumbling blocks along the way. I have a lot of friends who are psychiatrists and therapists and psychologists, and they say that most of the challenges that we have in our lives, when they trace it back, it almost always stems from that relationship with the Father. And it's up to us, because we're still here learning and growing and developing and becoming all that we were created to be. It's up to us to learn what that was. How do you do that, Carol? It's called sitting down, shutting the noise, going within, and asking God to reveal to us what we need to know. And there's nothing to be afraid of. Just say, God, you know, I didn't know that. So can you show me, can you tell me, what is it that I need to know to be a better parent, to be a better person? It's just that simple. The human element of us wants to make everything complicated and hard, but it's not. But something that happened to you when you were a small child, that you're still carrying the emotion from that, let it go. Well, you don't know how to let it go. Well, say, God, I don't want to carry that boulder anymore. Show me how to let it go. There's not a day that doesn't go by that I don't ask God. I say, you know, God, I did my best to be a good person today. But if there's some place in there that I'm still carrying old baggage from how I was treated as a youngster growing up, or something that I did today that wasn't good, show it to me so that I can embrace it with love, forgive it, bless it, and let it go. I forgive myself all my mistakes and shortcomings. You know, we say that in our mastermind group. I forgive myself for all my mistakes and shortcomings. We have to do that daily. And depending on what we're going through, you may have to do it on a regular basis. There's a story that you may have heard before. It's about the father was an older man, and he had dementia. He and his adult son were sitting out in the garden reading the newspaper. The father saw something moving on the grass in front of them, and he asked his son, what is that? The son shared it was a sparrow. Then the bird would move about as birds do. With each move to a new spot, the bird would move into. The father would say, what is that? And he would say, it's a sparrow, becoming more and more agitated and annoyed each time the father said, what is that? He would say, it's a sparrow. Well, they had this exchange so many times that the son was getting a little bit annoyed. The son had had enough of the question, and in an annoyance, raised his voice and reminded his father, "You've asked me that question enough time. It's a sparrow, Dad. It's a sparrow." Well, he realized he had hurt his father's feelings with his tone and his answer. The father got up, he went into the house, and he returned a short time later with a much-worn frayed book with blue frayed edges of the book. It was his journal for when his son, now an adult, was a 3-year-old toddler. He opened it up to a specific page and asked his son to read it out loud. The journal entry said, "Today, my 3-year-old son, today I took my 3-year-old son to the park. 21 times he asked me, what was that sitting on the ground in front of us? I answered him all 21 times that it was a sparrow. I answered him every time, giving him a loving hug after each answer, over and over without getting mad, only feeling affection for my innocent little boy. The son put the book down. With tears in his eyes, he reached down, hugged and kissed his father." You see, it was so easy, but he was in his stuff. The teachings in the scriptures tell us to honor thy fathers and our mothers, that our days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives us. Whether you were fortunate enough or blessed to have an awesome and wonderful father, or if you had one like mine, or maybe you didn't have one. You know, I know of some friends of mine, they raised foster children. Those children don't know who their father is. You know, somebody that stops by the house on occasion, maybe. They don't know. They don't have that relationship with the father. They don't have the relationship with the mother. But God is our perfect parent, the perfect balance of mother and father. Carolyn Mace's book, I want to remind you again, it's a great, great book that's very enlightening. As a matter of fact, the first time I read the book, I threw it against the wall because it irritated me so. But I had been on this spiritual path long enough and been in unity long enough to know that that point of irritation is the point of your greatest learning. So go get it and learn. And that's exactly what I did. I encourage you to take the time to listen. Listen to what is being said, not only from the lips, but being said from the heart. The book of Proverbs continually reminds us to learn understanding and wisdom. So much that we can learn, but if we're not understanding it and being wise about it, it's just wasted time. Your parents, your dad, did the best he could with what he knew at the time. If he had known better, he would have done better. But you have the opportunity, you have the responsibility with the awareness to promise yourself and your children to do better. Even if you're just the dad to a dog, do better. I heard the story yesterday about the little girl that got chewed up by a dog. You know, my heart goes out to her, and I hope that her father is in her life and can comfort her, and I hope that she makes it through. There's another quick little story I want to share with you. It was, I love this story. A father was at the beach with his children when his 4-year-old son Bob ran up to him and grabbed his hand and led him to the shore where a seagull lay dead in the sand. "Daddy, daddy, daddy, what happened to him?" His father said, "He died and went to heaven." The little boy thought about it for a moment and said, "Did God throw him back down?" May your day be blessed and rich with unshakable understanding and incredible joy with your father, whether he's alive or whether he's gone. This is just on the other side. You can talk to him, you know. They're still there. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I behold the joy, the love, the Christ that's in you. Thank you. Thank you.